See how far we get. We'll start with the Chris and McGill, and so if we have time, we'll get to a little bit of Charles Mondes as well. I wanted to begin, next Sunday is Purim, and Saturday night is Purim as well. And we know we have the requirement to read the Megillah. So just to begin, there are four elements and components that we have to Kriyas HaMegillah that we should be aware of and internalize. Bezer Shem, it'll be easier for us to do that because we'll be listening to the Megillah next week, not after fasting. And we'll have more of a wherewithal to be able to, as I said, internalize these components. The first component I think you have in Kriyas HaMegillah is the concept of Pursumi Nisa. The Gemara writes in Megillah on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph that there are certain things, certain words in the Megillah that are untranslatable, like Achar Shtanim B'nei Ramachim. Gemara says, we don't know how to translate them. So the Gemara says, not a big deal. As long as you get the gist of the story and are able to convey and publicize the miracle, that's enough. So the first thing is that when we listen to the Megillah, we should be able to put into our brains the miracle and be able to publicize it to our friends, to other Yidim that are not as frum and not observant, and speak about the history of what Purim is all about. So that's number one element you have in the Kriyas HaMegillah. Second element you have is the notion of that it's hallow. Simply listening to the Megillah, you are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara asks in Megillah, on Daf Yudal and Mbez, why is there no hallow on Purim? One of the answers is that Kriyasa Zu Halilasa, the actual reading of the Megillah is praise to Hashem that He saved us, and we were able to come out of everything okay, and He made this amazing Nes Nistar. In fact, the Meiri writes, if you have a city that has no Megillah, they should recite Hallel. We pass in the Shari Tshuva says, without a bracha, but to that degree, Kriyas HaMegillah is viewed as a Hallel. To the degree, if you have no Megillah, you would say Hallel. We know that the Gemara says in Megillah and Daf Dalid, the Gemara writes that we say the Megillah at night and we repeat it in the daytime. And Rav Shechter Shlitas told us in the name of the Rav Zatzal that the Ikar reading of the Megillah is in the morning. You just say it at night in order to prep yourself and get ready. The Rav Zatzal said if someone, God forbid, would pass away after the reading of the Megillah at night, he in essence is not Yotzei the Mitzvah because the Ikar reading is in the morning. So what's the makor of that? Laman yizamer chavod v'lo yidom. Hashem elokai li'olam odeka. Now that's mizmor. Mizmor is hollow. So you see the second element of Kriyas HaMegillah is actual praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself. And that is why it's so important that when we read the Megillah, it's an amazing story. And for that itself, it's praise to Hashem, the actual reading of the Megillah. The third element you have in Kriyas HaMegillah is the notion of the Marcheshes writes in the Sefer. The Marcheshes was a great, great Gaon, was the oldest Dayan in Vilna by Reb Chaim Ozer. In fact, there's a story told about when he was killed by the Nazis, that when he was beaten, to death. Rachmana Litzlan, that the Nazis that were killing him got very scared because he wouldn't die. It was miraculous medically. And the story is told about him that he himself, it took many squads to actually murder him. He was a great, great Gaon, the Marcheshes. And he writes, actually, that the Kriyas HaMegillah is an element of Mechias HaMolek itself. It's Zecher Mechias HaMolek, and it's a Mechias HaMolek. That's why Mishabur writes, some people write Haman on their shoes, and they stomp on their feet during Haman. Because the actual reading of the Megillah is remembering anti-Semitism, and it's the destruction of Amalek. So that's a third element we should have in mind when we read the Megillah and we listen to the Megillah. And lastly, if there is a concept of a tefillah. We are being mispalled to Hashem through the actual Kriyas HaMegillah that anti-Semitism should be destroyed and that the nations of the world should recognize us as the Am HaNivchar, and that we received proper dignity. And that's also seen in Megillah and Daf Dalid, where it says, Elokim lo dumiyali. We read the Megillah at night, and we also repeat it in the morning, because it's a tefillah to Hashem, the Pasuk says in Tehillim. we have a sheet in Tulsos, which we happen to not Paskin like, that you read the Megillah in order that we keep the Sefer Torah out, you read the Megillah, and then afterwards you put the Torah back in the Aron. We don't do that. We, in the morning, read the Torah, put the Torah back in the Aron, and then we read the Megillah. But according to Tulsos, Tiskabel, that will be recited after Valentin, will go on the Megillah as well. What's Tiskabel? That it should be Mekubel. What does it mean the Megillah should be Mekubel? That the Tefillah that we say during the Tefillah that we are actually reciting by listening to the Megillah should be Mekubel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's as an introduction that we have these four components that we have when we listen to Kriyas Megillah and we engage in reading. Number one, the publicizing of the miracle, number one. Number two, the element of Hallel. Number three, the notion of Zechira and Mechias HaMolek. And lastly, a Tefillah to Hashem, that anti-Semitism should be eradicated. So with that in mind, I want to focus on a unique component of the Megillah Esther that really sets it apart from all other Sfarim in Nach. The Gemara, and I heard this Mahalach once, and it's written in the Sefer of Shechter Shlita, and we embellish with additions in this Mahalach. Let's begin. We won't have time to read everything inside, but let's begin with the Gemara Yud Tesem and Aleph on the bottom. So it's number one Makor. It's actually on the top of this paper, but it's on the bottom of the Gemara Yud Tesem and Aleph. The Gemara says as follows: Amar of Yudom Shmuel, Hakorim and Megillah Ksuva Ben Ksuvim is Lo Yatzel. Let's say you have a Megillah that is connected to all the other four Megillahs, Rus, Kohelish, Yerushim, and Eicha. Big, gigantic cloth. And I take that cloth that has all the five Megillahs and I read the Megillah with it next week. Am I Yotzeh? So Rav Yudah Mer Shmuel says, you are not Yotzeh. Amar Rava, Lo Amarin, Ela Delo Mechasra, Miatra, Purta. That's only if the Megillah Esther is the same size as the other four Megillahs on the cloth. Aval, Mechatzra Miatra Purta Leislanba. But if the Megillah Esther is larger or smaller, then you're Yotze. Why? Rashi says because if it's the same size as the other ones, people just think you're learning. It's a lack of presuming Nisa. But if it's bigger or smaller, then it's noticeable, it's discernible, that it's unique and special, and you'll be Yotze for Kriyas and Megillah. So the Gemara tells us, Levi Bar Shmuel Gemara writes, Levi Bar Shmuel Havikakari Kamei the Rav Yudah and Megillah Aksuva Ben Aksuva. The Gemara says that Levi Bar Shmuel actually read a Megillah in the presence of Rav Yudah that was a Megillah Aksuva Ben Aksuva, that it was connected to the other four Megillahs. Amale, how'd you do it? Hari Amra Akori Ben Megillah Aksuva Ben Aksuva Lo Yatsa. You're against the din. What you did is wrong. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yechanan Akori Ben Megillah Aksuva Ben Aksuva Lo Yatsa. We know that you're not Yotzeh, umachalo amocho, but they bopped it on its head. Literally, that's what it means. They constricted the din, b'tzibur shanu. When is Megillah Ksuvim ben Aksuvim not Yotzeh, the mitzvah? When you read it b'tzibur. But when you read it b'yachidus, no problem, you're Yotzeh. That's the distinction the Gemara gives. And it says like this in the Shulchan Aruch, that if you take a Megillah Ksuvim ben Aksuvim, b'tzibur, you are not Yotzeh, but if you do a Biachidus, let's say you're reading for someone in the hospital, God forbid if someone's ill, you take a whole Megillah that is connected to the other four, the din is your Yotzeh, because not a Tzibur. So the Turi Evin in number two, long piece which we don't have time to read inside, asks Akasha. Turi Evin was the Shagas Aryeh on this Sefer Megillah. He writes, I don't understand. He says, let's say you read it at Tzibur. Let's say there are 10 men at Tzibur. He says, Dalmi Hacha, the other nine guys. So you won't be Yotze as a Tzibor, but you should at least be Yotze as a Yachid. Just because there are nine other fellows there, why does that implode the whole mitzvah? We should, in a sense, remove the other nine guys conceptually and say, let me at least be Yotze as a Yachid. Why does the whole din implode that you're not Yotze at all? That's a Turi Evans Kashin. And he points out that there are two major nafkaminas between reading the Megillah B'tzibur and reading B'yachid. One thing, one nafkamin is that Kriyas Megillah is unique. Kol HaMitzvahs Kulon is Mevarach Alein over Latziyasan. We always say a bracha before we do the mitzvah. Rarely, very rarely, do you have a bracha after the mitzvah. The Gemara says that the Yidim in Eretz Yisrael used to say a bracha on taking off the tefillin, Chalitzas tefillin, We don't paskin like that. But Kriyas and Megillah has a bracha of Aravis Rivenu. Very unique. So the Ramah quotes, that bracha is only said B'tzibor. Halacha L'maisa, the Chai Adam, Mishabru, the Racha Shulchan, they all quote this din, that you only recite Aravis Rivenu if it's said B'tzibor. So if you read the Megillah for someone in the hospital, there's no Tzibor, we paskin Ladina, you only say the brachas before, you don't say the bracha afterwards. It happens to be the Gaon argues. The Gaon argues on the Ramah. I don't know what they do in Eretz Yisrael, but the Gaon says you say Aravis Rivenu, Bein Biyach Bein Mitzibor. But if you go with the Ramah's Psak, that's number one difference. So if you read a Megillah, Haksuvim Ben Haksuvim, you wouldn't be Yotze as the Tzibor din, but you should be Yotze as a Yachid. And you would not say Ravis Rivenu. That's one Nafkamina. Another Nafkamina he points out is the Gemara and Megillah. And Hayamad Aleph points out that we should always strive to have a minion for the Megillah. Rav said that's only if you read the Megillah before its time on the 14th or 15th. If you read it on 11th, 12th, and 13th, you should always gather a minion. If you read the Megillah Bismana, you don't need a minion. And Rav Asi, a Talmud of Rav, said you should always require a minion, even if you're reading it Bismana. And Rachman al-Islam, the Gemara says a story that Rav couldn't go to Shul one Purim, and Rav was choshish for his Talmud Rav Asi, and he gathered a minion in his house to be makbid to always have a minion. So that's another nafkamina. So even if you had 10 guys there when you read the Megillah Ksuvim and Ksuvim, you're not Yotze the Tzibur din, you don't want to be Yotze the Yachid din. So that's a lower level of fulfilling the mitzvah. So that's what he points out. But what we have here is the kasha of the Turi Evin. Frek the Turi Evin, if you have a Megillah Ksuvim and Ksuvim, and you read it B'tzibur, you're not Yotze. The Shulchan Aruch is not Yotze at all. Why are you not Yotze at all? Should be Yotze at least as a Yachid. It might not be in the highest tier of the mitzvah, but at least you should be Yotze something. And he blinds by a kasha. He leaves it as a kasha. That's number one kasha we want to begin with. Let's continue. We go to number... Let's go to number three. Second kasha. The Gemara in Baba Basra, on Daf, I think it's Yudgimel Mebez, has a machlokes of Meir in the Chachamim. Can you take a Sefer Torah and madbik the Sefer Torah, glue it on, or attach it, to a Nach? You'll have all of Tanakh in one cloth. Is that okay or not? Machlokes Reb Meir in the Chacham. The Rambam Paskins, you're allowed to, but if you do it, it brings down its level of being a Sefer Torah, and it becomes only a Chumash, based on the principle called Yeser Kenotel Dami, which is a principle found in Hilchos Treifas. It says in Hilchos Treifas, if you have a chicken that's born with three legs, the additional leg is if it has one leg. Yeser extra is like it's missing. The Rambam imports that din to this halacha about Sefer Torah. That if you're madbik the Sefer Torah with a nach, it brings down its level that's only a chumash. Now what does a chumash mean? Chumash doesn't mean an art scroll chumash. It means, in the Gemara's lashon, it means a Sefer Torah that only consists of brachos, or only consists of shmos, or vayikra, or bamidbar dvarim. So the Rambam writes, let's see it inside. Rambam says, number three here, Kol kisvi hakodesh en kosvin ela b'sirtu. Every Sefer Torah you have to write with sirtu, underscored afilu kosvin ala niyar, even if you write it on paper. Mutu l'chtov sholosh tevos below sirtu. You can write three words of Torah without sirtu. Yosar al zeh asr. Kedere krach zeh. Sheyesh bo Torah nevim uksuvim. Ein kidushoso kikidusha Sefer Torah. So all the Gedolei Achronim say, where did Rambam get this din from? You know, the Rambam writes in the Hakdamah, the Arach HaZaka, he's a codifier. They're dinim and shas, he codifies. Where's the mucker? Merkavah Zemisha says, maybe it's Yerushalmi, then he's Docha. Why does the Rambam import a din in Hilchos Treifas to this halacha here? What is the makora din of this Rambam? So that's the second kasha. Very unique chiddush of the Rambam that he says yeser kenotel dami. That's number two kasha. Let's see number four here in the Mar Makomos. The Gemara in Gittin Daf Samach Amaraf writes as follows. It says Shokhle b'nei Galil Rebbe Chalbo, the b'nei Galil center Rebbe Chalbo, ma'o likros b'chumashim b'sakness b'tzibor. Can a shul have a sefer Torah that only consists of shmos or brachos? Yes or no? Gemara asks the Shiloh. Lo havi biyada, he didn't know. Asa shaila le Rebitzki nafka, lo havi biyada. They asked Rebitzki nafka, he also didn't know. Asa shaila be midrashi, went in the base medrash. Upashtu mehadam Rav Shmuel bar Nachmina Rav Yechanan Sefer Torah shechasi riachas kin karnbo. So for Sefer Torah that's missing one part from seam to seam, you cannot read from it. Velohi, it's wrong. Hasam mechaser milsa, hachalam mechaser milsa. The Gemara says, as long as not missing anything, Rabbi of Yosef Dar Matarvayu and Korn Michumashin Besaknesis Mishum Kovadat Sibor. Done. The Gemara concludes, you are not allowed to take a Sefer Torah that consists only of Breshi Shmos, Vayikra B'Midbar Advarim and Shul, because it's Kovadat Sibor. A lack of Kovadat Sibor. Rabbi Kivegar on the side of the page in the Gilin Shas quotes all the Mar Makomus and Shas about Kovadat Sibor. The standard beer is that it looks bad, that the shul can't spend enough money to get a full Sefer Torah. Stop a kovadik. That's the pashup shot Rabbi Kivegar interprets. If you have a shul that, let's say, doesn't have the money, so Mr. Bruce says they can be moch on their kovad, and that's, what can they do? They have no choice. That's correct. So, if you look in the Ramah number 5, the Ramah has an amazing case. It goes as follows. Let's say you have a shul that has two Sifrei Torah. One Sefer Torah had a mistake in Sefer Bereishis. And let's say we're in Tetzaveh now. And they're using the second Sefer Torah. Lo and behold, in the second Sefer Torah, they find a mistake in Tetzaveh. Now the first Sefer Torah had a mistake in Bereishis, but it's good in the rest of the four Sfarim. Can you take out the first Sefer? Everyone probably forgot about that there's a mistake already in the first Sefer. But it's good in the last four Sfarim. Is that acceptable? The Ramah says, yes, it is. He says, let's see. Vim chumish echad shalem belo ta'us. Yesh lahakal likros boso chumish. Afa pish yesh bo ta'us b'acherim. No problem, says the Ramah. No problem. Number 5, though, in the Bir Aloche, he quotes Gedolei Achronim that argue on the Ramah, that say it's not acceptable. Why? If the issue is Kovadat Sibor, that it looks bad, this is a beautiful, full Sefer Torah. People probably forgot about the mistake anyway in Bereishis. Why is it a lack of Kovadat Sibor? It must be that these Gedol Achronim that argue on the Ramah had a different approach to what Kovadat Sibor meant. And the third kasha we want to ask is, what was that approach of Kovadat Sibor? Conceptually, it's different. Because it doesn't look bad, it's a full Sefer Torah. Okay, there's a mistake. But it's a full Sefer Torah. It's not a lack of covenants. Even the Ramah says it's okay. Some Gedolei Achronim say no. In the bottom, that number 6, he says, Ayin bebeis meir, shegamu lefak beik bedinze, vayin b'shari Ephraim, shekosuv gamkin, she'ein ha-minig lahakal b'zayin sham, tamo b'pischei tshuva. They happen to beg to differ with the Ramah, and they say, we don't like it. The Bir Alocha, the Chofetz Chaim, the Heligot Chofetz Chaim Zatzal writes, Nirish Anoig Lahakal Ebzeh Einim Chos Biyoto. If a shul wants to rely on the Ramah, don't protest. But what's shot in the Gedolei Achronim that argue on the Ramah? Why is it a problem? Okay, so we want to bring out here is three kashas that we've asked. Let's quickly review the kashas. Number 1, we asked, what's the pshat the Shagasari Turyevan said? If you read a Megillah Ksuvim ben Aksuvim in front of 10 fellows, you're not Yotze. The whole din implodes. You're not Yotze anything, the Shulchan Aruch says. You should be at least be Yotze as a Yachid. Turyevan left that as a Kasha. That was number 1. Number 2, the Rama's Mechadish, you're allowed to be Madbik a Sefer Torah to the rest of Nach. He passes like that Tana. But if you do it, it's Yeter Kenotel Dami. Brings it down to a level of a Chumash. Where'd the Rambam come up with this novel Chiddush that he imports a din in Hilchos Treifus to this din? That's number 2 kasha. Number 3 kasha is, what is the pshat in the Gedolei Achronim that argue on this Ramah, you're not allowed to take out that Sefer Torah that you have that only has a mistake in Bereishis and the other four Sfarim are fine? Why? It's not a problem of Kovadat Sibor. The Ramah says it's fine. They're being mocha on their Kovadat Sibor. Other Achronim argue, what does the Sfar of the other Achronim hold? So to answer these kashas, we have to think about the uniqueness and the enormous elements and components that come about from Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther is different than all the other Sfarim. The Gemara says in Megillah Daf Zayin, it's the seventh Maramakom, we paskin that Esther was Baruch HaKodesh, and Halacha L'maisa, it was canonized. It's part of Ruach HaKodesh, and it's part of the 24 Sfarim, we know, of Tanakh. But more importantly, when we accepted the Torah, we were forced to accept the Torah, the Gemara writes in Shabbos. Kaf Olam Harkikigis. Hashem took our Sinai, put it in our heads like a barrel. We were forced to accept it. The Gemara writes in Shabbos on Daf Pechesimaf, we re-accepted the Torah willingly later in history. When was that? At the time of Mechashverosh, Bizman Purim. Now, we needed a contract when we accepted the Torah. What was the contract? There was a Sefer Habris. The Pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim that Moshe Rabbeinu had a Sefer Habris. The Feirush in the Pasuk. What did that Sefer Habris consist of? Rashi says from the beginning of Bereishis till Mishpatim. But the Ramban in Sefer Mabidbar writes that the Sefer Habris was the whole Torah from beginning till end. And that served as the contract between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael that we were chosen as the Am HaNivchar. But we accepted the Torah against our will. We re-accepted the Torah willingly at the time of Purim. Where is the contract? The contract is Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther serves as that special chose between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And we find comparisons between the Sefer Torah and Megillas Esther. According to many Rishonim, the halacha is amazing din that you have to write sirtut. When you write a Megillah, it has to be underscored. Why? Ka'amita shel Torah. What does Ka'amita shel Torah mean? So many Rishonim say, like a Sefer Torah. Megillah needs sirtut like a Sefer Torah requires sirtut. Because they both serve as contracts for Klal Yisrael. The Yerushalmi writes in Megillah that the only two Sfarim that we can make drushes on, that halachas can emerge from and surface from, is from the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the Torah, the full Torah, and Megillas Esther. Because there's a special level of Kedusha and Nevuah to a Sefer Torah and Megillas Esther that is on a high level that is like Bas Baklari Yemi'ira. When Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, he was on a level of Nevuah unlike any other Navi. And Megillas Esther is on that same level of genre of Kedusha, of level of Nevuah. And therefore, only those two Sfarim you could give drashas on, the Yerushalmi writes. Those are the only two Sfarim. And the Rambam highlights this, if you see in number 9, it says, Beferish, in number 9, the Rambam writes, we'll read the beginning of number 9, says, Rambam says, Kol Sifrei HaNevim, V'chol HaKsuvim HaSidim Li'batal Limos Mashiach, all the Sfarim and Nach will be nullified, Chutz mi Megillas Esther. Shar hi kayemes kichan chemisha chum shei Torah kichol shei Torah shebaal peh shei metelim liol. It's right there. It's unbelievable. The Torah and Esther will not be nullified. She'af al-pi shekol zirchon ha-tzoros yivatel. Even though all the memories of the Tzoros were nullified, she'nemar, it says, yimei purim lo yivatlu. Ki nishku ha-tzoros rishon nichinshu meni yimei purim lo yivatlu. Vi'a purim elu lo yivatlu mitoch yehudim zirchon lo yisuf mizarim. Amazing. The Rambam writes the Torah and Megillas Esther. The Ravid has a different shot. Ravid says he's referring to reading Bitzibor, that there will be no concept of Haftorahs during the Mashiach except for reading Megillas Esther. But you see, the Rambam brings out this comparison and he generates this tremendous chiddush that the Megillas Esther is the Sefer Habris. And the Gemara writes in Yuma, on Daf Chav Tesimanaf, in number 10, it says, the Gemara says, Lam Natzeach al Ayalas HaShachar, that's a Kapitlo Chav Beis, It says there that it's referring to Esther. Esther was Sof Kol HaNisim. Esther was the last miracle. The Gemara asked, what about Hanukkah? So the Gemara answers, no. Nitan Lichtov Kamrinin. Esther was canonized, was put in Tanakh. Esther is unique in the fact that it was the end of Torah Shebichsav. It was the contract of the Jewish people accepting the Torah, but it also ushered in Torah Shebaal Peh. And since it has this unique element that it ushered in Torah Shebaal Peh, which we're going to get back to, Blinetter, this is why Megillas Esther also is called a Sefer HaBris. Once we've said this now, we can begin to answer the three kashas that we asked. The first kasha we asked is, if you read the Megillah Ksuva Ben Aksuvim, you're not Yotze B'Tzibor, but you are Yotze Yachid. So why does the Shulchan Aruch say if you take it B'Tzibor and you lane it, you're not Yotze at all? Turi Evan asked, you should be Yotze at least as a private individual. Dal Mihacha, the other non-fellows. Conceptually remove them. When you lane, generally Kriyas HaTorah is Derabanan. Once in a while it's D'Oraisa. Zohar is D'Oraisa. The Taisa Rosh is Parsha Separ is D'Oraisa. The Ramban says laning on Yontif Mikroi Kodesh is D'Oraisa. So you can have exceptions. Rashba quotes a Rashi in Brachos. We don't have the Rashi on Shas. That all the Arba Parshas are D'Oraisa. But usually Kriyas HaTorah is Derabanan. But when you lane, you must convey the Sefer HaBris to the people that are listening to the laning. You are laning from a Sefer HaBris, a Torah that is Chamisha Chumshei Torah from beginning until end, in its totality. And you have to convey that to the audience. And if it's missing, that's not a Sefer HaBris. If it has something added onto it, that's not a Sefer HaBris. And if you add it on, it's like subtracting. It takes it away. So when you engage in laning, you have to convey that Sefer HaBris. It's all or nothing. If it's there, it's great. If it's not, the whole thing implodes. So you can't tell me, oh, remove the other nine guys, and you should be Yotze as a Yachid. You can't. The Kriyas HaMegillah B'Tzibor is to convey that Sefer HaBris like when you lane Kriyas HaTorah. If you're laning for someone in the hospital, God forbid, that's ill, okay, that's a Kriyas HaTorah B'Yachidus. I'm not attempting to convey this notion of a Sefer HaBris. Therefore, I'll be Yotze. If I have the Megillas Esther that's attached to the other Megillas. But when I lane it B'Tzibor in an audience, my mandate is to convey the Sefer HaBris. And if it's attached to the other Megillas, that's Yeser Kenutl Dummy. So therefore, that answers the second kasha as well. We said, where did the Rambam import this halacha in Hilchos Treifus of Yeser Kenutl Dummy to the halacha of being Madbik a Torah with Nach? We said, you're allowed to do it, but if you do it, it has the din of a Chumash. Where did Rambam get it from? Dor Sameach writes one line. You know where he got it from? He got it from the Gemara we began with. On Daf Yud Tesem and Aleph, where the Gemara says you take a Megillas Esther and you connect it with the other Megillas, you are not Yotze B'Tzibor. But that's talking about Megillas Esther. And the Rambam is talking about a Sefer Torah. What's the answer? The answer is they're both the same thing. They're Sefer HaBris, exactly. And therefore the Rambam writes that I got it from the Gemara Megillah on Daf Yud Tesem and Aleph. And therefore, the Chiddush is that the Sefer HaBris that we have to convey by laning, we have to convey when we lane the Megillah as well. Otherwise, the halacha of the Sefer HaBris will not be fulfilled. Do you know, someone questioned the Rashba. He said, Rebbe, what happens if a sofer wants to write in a Sefer Torah? You know how many shuls they have the cards of Baruch Hu Hashem Amvorach on the shulchan? What happens if the sofer wanted to put that actually in the cloth to make that easier? What will be the din? So the Rashba, the Shoal, who asked the Rashba, he said, Rebbe, I think it's a psul d'oraisa. You see from the person that questioned the Rashba was a big Talmud Chacham. He says, yes, it's a psul d'oraisa because it would take away from the Sefer HaBris by writing the brachas in. It's not just a din d'rabban, it's a din d'oraisa. And we say many dinim, machlik's the balam, or rebar's line, and many dinim mentioned in Nach have the status of being derisive. Divrei Kabbalah and Divrei Torah Dami. It's a machlokes. So what we're pointing out is that adding on subtracts, and it will not be the Sefer HaBris that's needed. So the Rambam didn't make it up anew. He just got this concept from the Gemara and Megillah and applied it to a Sefer Torah, but they're both Sefer HaBris. I once asked Rav Schechter Shlita, I said, Rebbe, according to this, what would happen if a Sofer would attach a Megillus Esther to a Torah? What would you say in that case? I said, Rebbe, they're both Sefer HaBrises. So I said, you know, but on one hand, one was Beratzon, we accepted the Torah willingly, and one was against our will. So maybe the quality still is different. So he said he wasn't sure. I would imagine we shouldn't try it, you know, of course not. But it's an interesting conceptual question, what would be in such a case? But you see, that speaks volumes how so special the Megillus Esther is, different than all these Sfarim of Nach. And how, as we began this year, those four elements really are heightened, I think, about the notion of pursuing Nisa, and Hallel, and Zechir, and Mechias Amalek, and a Tefillah to Hashem, because it is the Sefer Bris, and we accepted the Torah willingly. This is the Sefer that shows it. That's why it'll never be nullified, ever. Even in Bizmon HaMashiach. And the other Sfarim of Nach are, according to the Rambam. Yes? That would also be a problem. Yeah. So Rabbi Hoffman is saying if you add it on the trup, the churu would be a psul d'oraisa. Yeah, go ahead.
So some people actually have a Megillah at their seat.
Correct. To be able to read along makes it a higher madrega. According to this, make a lot of sense. Yes, go ahead.
The Rav didn't accept that the first giving of the Torah was under duress. Because he raised the question, if it was under duress, you didn't have an enforceable covenant. And how did you punish people for 2,000 generations? How did you destroy the base of Migdol? Okay? So he says, you've got to learn a different way. And you'll find it in footnotes 44 and 45 of The Lonely Man of Faith. He says, what did he do? He took the world and he turned it upside down. He says, you see, my friends, this is a world without Torah. If you choose it, okay. If not, Kotiyat Kudraschem, I won't bury you, you'll bury yourselves.
Very nice. The Gemara actually says, Sham take for Rosham.
Yes.
And Reb Reuven Katz, Zatzal, who's the Rav, chief rabbi of Petach Tikva, has a whole mahalach. Why did it say Sham? It should say Pol, like you said. So it's a very interesting shot. So even according to the way you're saying, according to the Rav, still you needed two contracts. That was a different type of contract you needed as opposed to Purim. Purim was mamish, still different. Very nice. So based on all this, we have to answer the third kasha.
So if you put a Torah ben Aksuvim, but you made it bigger or smaller, like a Megillah, would you be yotzei with it?
If you made it Torah itself?
You connected the Torah to other Sefer Tanakh, but you made the cloth
according to this,
larger.
Yes.
Than you,
okay, yeah.
Because the Ram doesn't mention that.
That's a good point. Big Chiddush. If you'd mention, if you'd meet Ma'abik the Torah with the rest of Nach, it could very well be if you made the Torah part bigger or smaller, like the Gemara says by, and you bring out a great point. This is a Din D'oraisa, not like we presented from Rashi. Rashi said it was like episode of Mar Sinai, it looks bad, that you're learning. If it's the same size, doesn't look like you're doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. Whereas if you make it bigger or smaller, then it gets rid of the Mar Sinai problem. According to this Mahalik, it's a real Din D'oraisa, that you need a formal Sefer HaBris. So it's got to be bigger, got to be smaller. So it come out the same Din by a Sefer Torah, perhaps, maybe. Or maybe you can Mechalik and say the Torah sits on such a higher level than the rest of the Nach, maybe that even wouldn't help. We've got to check the din on that. It's a good point.
But the point is, if the Rambam learns it from the din of Megillah,
right? It would follow. It would be the same din.
And even according to the Rabbi, who says, I'm talking just about Kriya Betzir, but even according to the Rabbi, you could have the same derech also. Why isn't the other Sefer Nevi'im are not read Betzibur Lasi Lavo? Only the Megillah and Sefer Torah, because that's the key of Sefer Bris, even according to the Rabbi.
Very good. Could be also good. Okay. So based on all this now, we have to answer the third kasha. What was the third kasha we said? Exactly. The Gedolei Achronim were arguing on the Ramah that you can't take that Sefer Torah, the first one that was back in the Aron because they had a mistaken Breishis, bring it out and read it. Now you have a mistaken Shmos. Ramah said, not a problem. It's not a problem with Covenant Sefer. It's a full Sefer Torah. Must be they had a different Havana. What was their Havana? Their Havana was exactly this. It's not a Sefer Bris. Because it's not clean, it's not tar, not tar, but it's not correct in all those different Sfarim. You need it to be Sefer Bris to have no mistakes from beginning until end. So they understood Ein Korim B'Chumashim. Why can't you read in the Shul from a Chumash? From a Sefer Torah, Sefer Bris? Because Kavanat Sefer doesn't mean that it looks that the Shul is cheap. No, Kavanat Sefer means that you're not conveying the Sefer Bris that must be mandated when you lay. That's why it's in Koran B'chumashim Nei Kavanat Tzibur.
Why is it called Kavanat Tzibur?
Because the Tzibur highlights and requires this notion that you have to convey a Sefer HaBris. That's the Teich.
Kavod.
Because Kavanat Tzibur is that the Tzibur generates the Kavod that is needed to convey a Sefer HaBris, whereas a Yachid doesn't have that requirement. The Tzibur, the fact that there's a Tzibur, we have a notion of Kavanat Tzibur, the Tzibur, the audience, requires us to convey a Sefer HaBris. That's the Teich of Kavanat Tzibur. The Mela, they argued on the Ramah. Yeah, go ahead.
Why would you have a problem if all of a sudden you come up to Tzave and you find out that there's a mistake in the Torah? Everything you laid before that is like it didn't happen. Come on.
Well, first of all, I want to get into all the Rambam says you Yoytze Kriyas HaTorah with a Sefer Torah that's possible. But here you have, there's our halachas that you know, whatever you did before in a chanami. According to the shittas that says you didn't know, it wasn't on purpose. So you do the best you can. The question is, can you take out the other svarim, that other sefer that is good in the other four svarim, and embrace this as a mistake? So based on what we're saying, if you say it's a Kavanat Tzibur issue that it looks bad, it doesn't look bad at all. It's a fine sefer Torah. But if you hold that it's a notion of having a sefer, it's a formal concept, there's a mistake in it, you won't have that. So they say, go get another Sefer Torah, get a third one. Halacha l'maisa. So this is the... Yeah, go ahead. Gotcha. Okay, very good. Good idea. Okay. So this is the chiddush we have regarding what... That's the first mahalach I wanted to bring out regarding the notion of what I call Bein Adam L'Makom. Because Kriyas HaMegillah, sometimes it's a very... beautiful chag, and it's so serious. I was just here for Shabbos. I was the guest rabbi for Shabbos. We were speaking about it's a very serious yontif. They have to be happy, and you really should not have frivolity. It should be a simcha of friendliness and warmth, and not leitzonis. In fact, Rav Hutner Zatzal has a whole mahalach about how a molek symbolizes leitzonis. Leitzonis means you take something that's chashuv and you trivialize it. Klal Yisrael was the Am HaNivchor. We came out of Mitzrayim, and they attacked us. As the Medrash says, they cooled down the baths. They took something that is chashuv, and they trivialized it. So many people get mixed up, and they treat Purim as a time of Leitzonis. It shouldn't be a time of Leitzonis. It's a time that's very serious. But we always think about it, I think, maybe sometimes, as a Beit Adam L'Chaveiro type chag. But that's why the first part of the shir I wanted to devote to the Beit Adam L'Makom, the Megillah, and the components that are needed, and that's very serious for us because we were Mekabel the Torah from Hashem, Be'ava, Be'ratzon, and where is the contract? It is the Megillah that has those four elements that we spoke about in the beginning of Shir. Now let's move to the element of Beit Adam L'Chaveiro. One of the mitzvahs we have of Hayom, of Purim, is Sholach Manas. And Sholach Manas is a wonderful mitzvah. Shalach manas ish l're'eu, as the pasuk says. And there is a fundamental machlokes between the Trumas Adeshin and Siman Kuf Yud Aleph against Shlomo Alkabetz, who was the mechaber of L'cha Dodi, in his sefer on Megillah called the Manas Alevi. What is the nature of the mitzvah of Shalach manas? Trumas Adeshin was asked, can you send blankets and clothes to a person to fulfill the mitzvah of Shalach manas? So the Trumas Adeshin responded in the 2-3 lines, and he says, mana usually means a suda, and we can't eat clothes unless someone's a moth. Moths eat clothes. We don't eat clothes. So therefore, he says that Shalach Manos is a mitzvah where you're supposed to facilitate food for the suda, so that someone should have food for the suda, and if it's not food, you're not Yotze. According to the Trumas Hadeshin, the best Shalach Manas would be giving bread and salami. Because why? They can have a Suda Spurim. If you give them potato chips and you give them an apple, L'chura, you're not going to be Yotze the mitzvah of Shalach Manas, according to the Trumas Hadeshin. So if you have beautiful baskets, you should at least make sure, if there's not, let's say, bread, at least to one person, you should give bread and salami. That they should be able to have their Shalach Manas and use that for food for the Suda. That's the Trumas Hadeshin's theory. However, if Shlomo Hakavetz writes that that's not the nature of the mitzvah. The nature of the mitzvah of Shalach Manas is to be marba shalom bein adam l'chaveru. Is to foster relationships and new ones. I've told my Talmidim, there might be fellows on your floor you never even talked to. You don't even know them. I once did this in college. I knocked on the fellow's door. I gave him Shalach Manas. He says, I don't even know your name. I said, so what? We're all Talmidim in the yeshiva. And if you have a best friend that you give Shalach Manas to, in what sense did it foster any of your, did it make your relationship so much better? I guess if you don't give it, he might get insulted, right? But if you take this approach, the approach is, one could have said, maybe it doesn't necessarily have to be food, perhaps. And that's what he writes, that it's to be marba shalom b'enam l'chavero. So these two approaches are distinct, and we should try to fulfill both approaches. There are numerous nafkaminas that emerge from this that we don't have time to get into, but let's mention a few of them right now. Those are the two approaches to Shalach Manos. Is it to facilitate food for the Suda, or is it to foster a new relationship? In number 12, I gave the case, the Ramah gives the case, if you offer someone Shalach Manos and the person is mochel, he says, no, thank you. Very, very thoughtful, very appreciative. But you know what? I want to lose weight, and I'm not so interested in the Shalach Manas. Would you be Yotze? The Ramah writes, you are Yotze. Now, if it's to facilitate food for the Suda, you didn't do that. The fellow didn't accept it. But if it's to foster a new relationship, you certainly did that. Very appreciative. It's an amazing Ramah. The Ramah says, you're Yotze. I offer Shalach Manas to somebody who's Meichel. I'm still Yotze. That seems to go with the approach of the Marba Shalom Midam L'Chavero. And I did that. In fact, Rav Scheinberg Zatzal in his Sefer asks, why is there no bracha on Shalach Manas? Why is that such a great kasha? Because the Rashba writes in the Tshuvas, why is there no bracha on Stakka? If I offer $5 to an Ani, if I offer money to an Ani, why don't I say a bracha before that? That could be one. But the Rashba writes, how do you know the Ani is going to accept it? So maybe it'll be a bracha of Atala. So Rav Scheinberg, that's all asked by Shalach Manas, you're Yotze anyway. So what are you worried about? You should say a bracha. How are we going to answer that?
A continuous mitzvah.
Could be a continuous mitzvah. That's number one. Very good. But also, maybe you could suggest the Ram has a klal. Any mitzvah, bein adam l'chavero, no bracha. Bikur cholim, nicham aveilim. So if you hold, like Rav Shlomo Akavetz, so you put that together with the Ramah, why is there no bracha? Could say it's continuous, but you could also say that it's bein adam l'chavero. Whereas according to the Trumas Hadeshin, if it's to facilitate food for the Suda, you could say it's a mitzvah bein adam l'chavero as well. But also the Beis Yosef has a klal. You never say a bracha on something you can fulfill in your mind. There's no bracha on bittul chametz, is there? No, because you could do it in your mind. We say a bracha on bedika. It's a maisa, a beer, right? But on bittul you don't, says the Beis Yosef. Dover shimbo mamish. So according to Shlomo Akavetz, it's fostering relationships. That's not tangible. Granted, we concretize it by giving it a basket. But it's not tangible. So according to Shlomo Akavetz, you know why there's no bracha? Because of dover shimbo mamish. According to Trumas Hadeshin, there's no bracha as a mitzvah bin al machaveru. So you can answer it, and you can also say, because it was continuous too. But it comes out a tremendous chiddush. You know, the Ksav Sofer has a tshuva. Let's say a guy wants to give Shalach Manas anonymously. Would he be Yotze? Let's plug it in. If it's to facilitate food for the Suda of the Trumas Hadeshin, you're Yotze. But the foster peace, you don't know who it is. There's so many beautiful nafkaminas. You know, if you think about it, if you want to break it down further, When you talk about facilitating food for the suitor, you're really focusing on the recipient. Correct? The makabel. Did he get food for his suitor? If you focus on fostering relationships, you're really focusing on the giver. There's a whole shaila in the poskim, recipes that Frank Zatzal has. If you live in Tel Aviv, and you send your shalom, Tel Aviv is unwalled, so you celebrate Purim on the 14th. You send to your friend in Yerushalayim, who's celebrating Purim on the 15th, the shalom chamon is only delivered on the 15th. So it's after your Purim. Were you yotze? So it might depend. If the Hagdara of Shalach Manas is depending on the Nosein, well, I fostered my relationship after my Purim, because he got it on the 15th, so maybe I'm not Yotze. But if you focus on the recipient, I gave it to a fellow Yid who got Shalach Manas on his Purim, so maybe I'd be Yotze. It's interesting, nafkaminas that come about. Let's say the Achronim talk about, I offer Shalach Manas and it slips out of my hand, falls on the ground and gets dirty. Or I give raw meat to someone, he doesn't have enough time to cook it. Would I be yotze? If it's to facilitate food for a suitor, no. If it's to create a relationship, I've certainly done that. I spent a lot of money. Let's say I gave certain foods to someone who he can't. I didn't know he couldn't eat those foods. I didn't know. So I didn't facilitate food for a suitor. He's not going to eat it. But to be marba shalom, I would be yotze. You know, there's a fascinating nafkamina that comes up. I don't know if you remember this. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin. We know the chassan always gives money to the kala, to Makadisha. What happens in the case of an Adam Chashuv? Adam Chashuv, a Chashuv, a person, let's say, an Adam Chashuv. The Gemara writes that if the woman gives an Adam Chashuv a gift, and he says, you know what, with this gift you're giving me, he says to the lady, he says, I want to be Makadosh you. He says, Ariyama Kodeshus Li, with the Hana is an intangible pleasure that he accepted her gift. And he says, with the Hana that I'm giving you, I want to be Makadosh you with it. Is it good? Kumar says, it's good. Amazing Kiddush, called Hana. So what will be the din? Amazing. If someone offers Shalach Manas to an Adam Chashuv, and he's so happy, the giver, that this Adam Chashuv accepted his Shalach Manas, that he's giving him Hana back. Could you be Yotze with this? The poskim argue, if you hold it to facilitate food for the suitor, he never gave him anything. But if it's to foster a relationship, maybe you say it's esoteric, and you could be Yotze to that degree. Now, we say in the Pasuk, the Pasuk says, and that's the last Mar Makom here, it says, Mishloach Manos, Ish L'Reyeu. So here the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Binyan Sin, who has a suffix, if you give the Shalach Manos yourself without a Shliach, are you Yotze? Now if you look up the Tshuva, he writes, Beferish at the end of the piece, you definitely are Yotze. But in the Stechemet, he quotes three Shitas in Gedolei Achronim. One Shita says, Yafal Alev says if you give it yourself, you are not Yotze. Another Shita says on the other polar, it's better you give it yourself, mitzvah Yotze mibishlucho, but if you give it to a Shliach, of course you're Yotze. And then the middle Shita is that the Shliach, you and the Shliach are on the same level. It's a tremendous Chiddush to say there's a Shita that if you give it yourself, you're not Yotze. Amazing Chiddush. Why should that be? So there's a cloud. Rav Scheinberg, Zecher Tzadik LeBracha, writes this in his Sefer. There's a klal, the Gemara has an Eirvin, and in Gittin, Chazaka Shliach Osa Shlichuso. That when you appoint a Shliach to do a job, we assume an assumption that he's going to get it done. You don't have to call him on the phone and ask him, did you do it? But when do we assume that assumption? Only on a topic that's rabbinic, Adin D'Rabbanan. On Adin D'Raisa, we paskin, you have to call him and ask him, did you do the job? So according to the Rishonim that write, that all the mitzvahs of Purim, which are divrei Kabbalah, are kedivrei Torah Dami, that have a level of D'Oraisa, Macholikas Balamor, Ribar Saloni, and you have to treat it like a din D'Oraisa. So Rav Scheinberg says, why don't we call up our friends who we appointed the Shliach? Did you do your job? Did you give the Shalach Manos? No one does that. Why don't we do that? And we should, we paskin poshup shot if you give it yourself, yotze. But at least one fellow you should give yourself must to a shliach to give to someone else. You want to get as more people involved. You know, in social, you always say two's fine, three's a crowd. Not in shalach manis. Shalach manis, you want to get as many people involved as possible. So what's the answer? The answer is as follows, says Rav Scheinberg. Shlichus agency is a tremendous novel concept. A man can mekadesh a woman with kesef. He can appoint a shlich to do it for him. The starting point is you. The Torah is mekadesh. You can appoint an agent in your stead. By shalach manis, where's the starting point? The shliach. Mishloach manis ish l'reihu. The pasuk writes that you should lechachila give it to a shliach. You're a backup. The fact that by shalach manis the shliach is the starting point, that's an indicator that the notion of shlichus by shalach manis is not regulated and governed by the regular dinim of agency shlichus they call it Torah kula. And therefore, even though the mitzvah of Purim might be a diaraisa, I don't have to call my friend who was the shlich and ask him if he did it. Because it's not governed by the regular dinim of shlichus. What's the proof? The proof is you're not the starting point. The shlich is. And therefore, I can assume chazaka shlich also shlichuso. But it comes out that if it's not governed by the regular dinim of shlichus, maybe you could appoint someone who's not generally a kosher shlich, like a non-Jew, like a katan. Maybe those fellows would be kosher for a shliach for shalach manas. So poskim say it's better to do it at least through a shliach, but okay, we should try to get a shliach that's kosher others, but it could be based on this mahalach that it would be acceptable to have a person that's not kosher for general shlichus. Allah l'maisa. So you'd have a kula of a katan or a non-Jew would be okay. And also you'd have another kula that we don't have to call up our friends and ask him, did he actually do it? But I think the notion of getting another person involved is another reason of it's the mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro, and it's the mandate to do the best we can for shalach manas is to get l're'ehu, to get as many people involved as possible. You know, we don't have it this year, but there's a notion of Purim Mishuleshes, the triple day of Purim. Exactly. So on Friday, what do? We do Matanos Avyonim and Kriyas Megillah. Shabbos, we read Parshas Purim, right? The morning, the nine psukim. Sunday we do the Suda, and what else? So most poskim say you do Shalach Manas with it, because Shalach Manas is a subsidiary of the Suda. That's if you follow like who? Like the Trumas Hadeshin. But if you hold the approach of Shlomo Akabetz, maybe one could argue and say it doesn't have to be on the same day as the Suda. Nonetheless, what we wanted to bring out is that Purim has these two tracks of Bein Adam L'Makom, which we went through the notion of Megillas Esther, and it's how meaningful and unique it is, and also the notion of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, which highlights that Hashem wants from us that we should match all the learning and all the mitzvah we do Bein Adam L'Makom with all the chesed of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. So I want to wish everyone a Freilich and Purim, and we should Mashiach should come here via Meinu, where we'll be able to read the Megillah on the 15th, if we're all in Yerushalayim. Okay, everyone have a good day. Good luck. Oh, yeah, good.